welcome to the D&K Repost on League Show. And again, once again, Facebook is letting us down, but hopefully we can sort that out as we go along. But Keith, I mean, good week for you. I mean, game called off at the weekend. I suppose it spoiled a few bits for you, but other than that, all okay?
Yeah, could have done with the game being on, Dave. As I said to you just a little while ago off air. But at 10:30, we spoke about pitches being postponed last week. It was the match referee come in and deemed it unplayable for them because obviously Chichester had to travel 2.5 hours to get to us. So, but I was there, and by 3 o'clock, I think it was playable, but it is what it is, isn't it? So, you know, not much can do. They didn't have to travel. So, you know, I know they've got to come to us on a Tuesday, but it is one of them, unfortunately. So, yeah, apart from that, we've had a really good week, sort of in training-wise. So we was looking forward to the game.
Bit of a disappointment, I suppose, when you get up for a game like that and weather sort of catches you out.
It's a catch 22, Dave. I think Adam and that mostly tell you, sometimes you break your absolutely backsides off to get a game off and it backfires on you. But we tried. And like I said, if maybe it wasn't the match ref, it would have been a local ref, and then we would have got the match ref in at 1 o'clock, would have played. But it is just one of them things. You just, you know, I think it's been doing it too long now to stress over. If your game's called off, you just get on with it.
But of course, joining us today, it's the Worthing boys. We've got, of course, the manager is Adam's with us as well. So welcome, Adam.
Hi, Dave and Kevin, Keith, sorry, and Pete.
And of course, Pete's joining us as well. And I mean, Pete, you do a lot of the social media stuff and all that stuff for Worthing as well. But it's great to have you back on as well.
Yeah, long time no speak. Good to be here. Don't know why you've got me, but when you've got Adam.
Well, I asked the question off there, and I don't mean this in any disrespect, but you know, I mean, you know, big game for you at the weekend, and when you saw the weather, was you a bit worried that the game there might not take place?
To be honest, I was pretty adamant that you know, Lewis were going to do what they could to get the game on. Knew that there'd be a big interest in the game. Brighton were away as well to Newcastle, so there would have been a few sort of Brighton fans that would want to come as well. So I knew that Lewis would do what they could to try and get the game on, and how it turned out, the pitch was absolutely fine.
I mean, and a fair old whack of people in there as well watching the game.
No, it certainly was unbelievable atmosphere, like, generated by both sets of fans, got to say. All in good spirits as well. And, you know, the sort of hospitality from Lewis was excellent. And they showed that they can, you know, put on a big game like that. And, you know, full credit to them.
It is one of them stadiums, Adam, isn't it, that when it's packed is absolutely rocking. It's a big old ground, isn't it?
But yeah, you've got the big terraces there behind both goals. I think that helps massively. So we sort of like packed out the away end, as it were. And, you know, both were absolutely packed to the rafters. They've got a nice stand. And like, obviously, where you're in a bit of a bowl there, it does really sort of help with the atmosphere. And like I say, it was an excellent game to be part of, one that, as a fan, manager, player, anyone associated with either club, is a great game to be a part of.
Was it, obviously, I know Lewis get quite big gates themselves, but was it any advantage to you that you've played under some massive crowds at home this year already? I think the week before, I think you played in front of 1,500 and, you know, 1,000 the week before that, I think 1,200 the week before that. Is that just something you're getting used to now?
Yeah, it definitely is. I think it's a big attraction, you know, when you sort of speak to players in the summer, you know, our fan base is a big selling point. You know, come and play in front of big crowds week in, week out. And I know that a lot of players, like Harrison, our goalkeeper, would have gone online and seen a few of our games before he committed to come and sign for us and see what kind of following we get. So, yeah, it's a massive part of the club, and it's a good sell when I do speak to players, really.
And so with that as well, you know, have you noticed that now with yourself and Lewis doing really well sort of down that sort of end of the country where Brighton is, and obviously Brighton doing fairly well, that there's a lot more sort of people sort of coming to watch non-league football now because you're both doing so well?
Yeah, I think throughout Sussex, really, Hastings up the road as well, good crowds. It's Sussex at the moment. Maybe because of, you've got Brighton and Crawley and that's it in Sussex. So maybe that's a part to play a bit as well. That a lot of teams, a lot of people and fans get behind their local team as well because, you know, the next league club is a bit further along and a bit further away. But we're seeing throughout Sussex, really, the crowds have been phenomenal in non-league this season.
And you've got some big games coming up as well, though, Adam. I mean, not being funny, I mean, there's some real sort of like humdingers for you coming up as well. And I know, you know, we laughed and joked and said, you know, beforehand about where it would position you in and point you in front. But there's some real big games. You seem to have like the fixture list from hell going into the, between now and the end of the season. Is everybody that you probably would have preferred not to to play, you've got, haven't you, in the next few weeks?
Yeah, sure, Pete can vouch for this, but, I'm probably going to give you the most boring answer to this. That is, you know, don't look any further ahead than Tuesday night. And that is our next massive game. I don't get too carried away with looking at what could be in the next fixtures now. Just full focus on East Thurrock Tuesday. I know that that's going to be a real tough game, tough ask, tough place to go. And then after that, we've got Margate at home. But honestly, beyond that, don't get too carried away and don't really look too far ahead into what fixtures we've got. But every game in this league is a tough one. I spoke to Peter, the Cole Shorten manager, the other day, and he was exactly the same. You know, he was really nervous about going to East Thurrock. I think they drew 0-0 that day. So you get nervous before every game at this league because anyone can turn up and give you a good game and everyone's, you know, really striving to get those 3 points.
Funny enough, that was exactly the same answer Andy Lees gave me from Enfield Town last night.
There you go. That is true. 100% true. It's a tough league and, you can't get too carried away because, like I say, there's big games and none bigger than Tuesday night.
Just looking at your results and, you know, when you're sitting at the top of the league, it's obvious the team that scores the most goals and concedes the less are up there. But just looked at, apart from obviously with Lewis scoring, if you take the Hayward Heath Velocity Cup game out, you've kept 6 clean sheets in your last 6 games apart from the Lewis. Is that saying that, you've always looked to build from at the back first?
I like to hear Pete's answer this, but no, very much complete opposite, really. We tried to go out and be attacking and control the ball. Defensively, all the work that we do is all in possession, really, and to focus on us in possession and dominating the ball and being better ourselves in possession. But, we have had a slight tweak. We played 3 at the back for long parts of the start of the season and gone to a 4. And since we've gone to a 4, I think it's gave us a bit more control in games and left us a bit less acceptable to the counter-attack a little bit. And I think, you know, with that, I think since we've gone to a 4, our defensive record's really improved as well.
I think on Saturday as well, it was quite unlucky to concede because it came off Aaron Racine's chest, didn't it, from a cross by Ollie Tanner. So it was a bit unfortunate that we did actually concede.
I mean, I spoke to Andy Lees last night and he was talking about his game with you and I know they went up to you with sort of like, you know, hope and stuff to that they might get something coming up to you and he said he'd done his due diligence on you and all the rest of it. He said, but then you changed your formation or changed the way you played a little bit against them and he said it took them a bit of time to work out what you was actually doing. He said because they weren't going to be able to work out what you were doing. They always seemed to be like almost an extra player on the pitch. I mean, do you actually, you know, even though as well as you're doing, do you still actually have sort of different tactics to go up against different sides and sides that you think might cause you problems? Because, I mean, the game at Enfield Town was an absolute humdinger of a game. I was there for that, and that was a fantastic game of football.
I was, yeah. I thought, we played really well on the day. Controlled lots of possession, how we like to play, and having the pitch that we've got, I think really suits us to play that way. We've changed shape a few times this season, throughout the season, and yeah, very lucky that I've got a group of players that are really settled to that, and clever players that can change and play in different roles and that as the game goes on. So, you know, very lucky on that front, and it's something that we do like to do. But yeah, we've probably played that shape for since we got beat at Cole Shorten, we didn't really have control of the ball. So I look to change it since then. So that's been like since the turn of the year, really. So we've had a few games playing how we've been playing. So maybe Andy was referring back to our game at the start of the season.
But I mean, with the club itself, around the club, has it been a frustrating sort of like couple of years for you? You know, I mean, you know, we've already sort of, Peter's nodded, but you know, with the situation of sort of, if I'm right in saying, he was probably top on, near top on both times when it's been sort of called off. And I was sort of laughing and joking last night off air with Andy saying, you know, realistically, if you'd have had 2-3 good seasons, you could have been pushing for, you know, Div 2 this season. Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, where in a scenario of having some really good seasons. So was that sort of frustrating, you know, been really frustrating for you with the fact that you've tried to get out of the Isthmian Prem, couldn't do it? Second year, tried to get out of the Isthmian Prem, couldn't do it, you know, through no fault of your own. And then sort of this year, has it been more determined to sort of say, look, we're going to do it this year?
Yeah, I mean, my answer on this, Pete, yeah.
Yeah, you can answer it.
just from my point of view, I just obviously was initially quite soul-destroying, but I'm a true believer in, you know, concentrating on what you can control. We can't control the decisions the league made. They decided that points per game weren't going to be an option and stuff like that. So it is what it is. Everyone around us seemed to be getting promoted, and there's putting them both seasons together, which seemed a bit of an idea at the time, but you know, ultimately we can't control their decisions that they make. So you know, that was the key message to the players: it is what it is, and we've just got to go again. And full credit to them. Like, since you know, we come back, we did do get together during the lockdown period as soon as we could get together. You know, they was quite keen that they wanted to come in and get training straight away, and a lot of teams didn't do that. But the group of players that we've got were very keen to get back and get training, and you know, I can't praise them highly enough for that, because obviously as a club we weren't paying them at that stage, but they still wanted to come in twice a week to train, and I think that has really helped us as well.
Yeah, it was really frustrating, even from a, you know, a fan's point of view. But I think, you know, Adam, you managed to keep the squad together, keep them motivated, and we're doing exactly the same as we did before. And I think that's high praise on the group of players, yourself and the coaching staff at the club.
I mean, looking at the table, and I know nothing is a given. I mean, you're sitting there 10 points clear, game in hand, and then you've got the likes of Bishop Stortford, folks in the Vic 10, through Town, Hornchurch, Lewis, and maybe Margate sort of, and Carr Shorten in that sort of group as well. Are you getting to that sort of situation with the power that's in that league that, you know, you don't want to be messing about in playoffs? If, say, you know, if you came off the rails and, you know, you want to get out as champions and not have to face any of that lot?
Yeah, I mean, at this stage of season, you know, you'd be looking at our position, you'd be foolish to say that you'd want to go up for the playoffs. But like I say, there is 10 games to go, 30 points still up for grabs to play for. And I'm sure the teams behind us will still be looking at it going, you know, they still want to finish as champions as well. They wouldn't give up on it. And that is the league we're in, real tough league. And I think it's been proven over the years, even the teams that have had big budgets have not romped away with it in recent years. So, you know, like I say, we're just fully focused on East Fife and not getting too carried away. You know, what can we control? That's putting in a good performance on Tuesday night, and that'll be the messages to the players.
And I think with 10 games left, every game's a cup final, and everybody's going to want to beat us because of the position that we're in. So that, you know, the players have got to be at the top of their game week in, week out now, between now and the end of the season.
Do you
it's also... not just that as well, Peter, is it? Sorry, Dave, but obviously the teams you're playing after, you've got Margate, Bishop Salford, and obviously you said Carl Shorten and Chesson are in the like your next 6-7 games. They're all looking to get cement their place in the playoffs as well, aren't they? So
yeah. They
need the points just as much as you do.
But would you do you not think those some of those teams that might not have to play you that are in those playoffs are looking at it going, oh, Worthing win every single game between now and the end of the season? Because you know, if you then sort of come out and beat Bishop Stalford, you know, you beat Chesson, you beat the likes of Carr Shorten, you know, in those sort of games, that it makes their life maybe a little bit easier because you've taken points off their rivals. So you might have sort of people there that are maybe where before they might have been thinking, well, look, we can sneak in there. They might be thinking, well, look, let's get them to win them and we'll keep certain clubs out of the playoffs, or we'll be, you know, cemented into the playoffs as well.
Yeah. Can't really talk on behalf of any other club, but I'm sure that will be the thinking. Any team that's in and around it, you know, will be looking to still make a charge for playoff. I know, speaking to Peter a couple of weeks ago, he was still very much felt he had the group that could put a run together that could still get them in there. So, you know, I think there'll be a few clubs that think along them sort of lines, but I'm sure they're same as me. You just want to take care of their own business, and you want to go into the playoffs if that is the case, in a rich vein of form and full of confidence. So that would be with 10 games to go. That would be the thing that will get some momentum and keep it going.
When you are 10 points clear, though, Adam, obviously, you know, we've been in a sort of football environment, a changing room, and you know your team itself knows that, and they're looking at the games around them. How have you kept them sort of the feet on the floor, saying, look, you know, we just need to do it one game at a time? Because you know, at the end of the games, like any side, they're all on their phones looking who's played who, who's won, and whatever around you. So how have you done that?
Just being ultra boring like I am, really, just telling them to focus on the next game, and we focus on our analysis. Nothing's changed. We just go about our business and, you know, look at our performance. And I'll always, you know, a bit of a perfectionist. There'll always be stuff, even from the infield game where I thought we was very good, that we can improve on. And, you know, just staying in that same vein, clear messages all the time, and nothing sort of changed in our approach. So, yeah, it seems to be working. Also, I think it helps when you've got a group of players like we've got that are extremely sort of self-motivated. They always have been throughout the season. It's not, I've never had to worry about motivating them at all. The sessions and the standard, the tempo, the intensity has always been of a real high level. It's never been a case of me or any of the coaches having to motivate players. They go and do running after the game themselves. So I think having that sort of team spirit and that cohesion that the players have got has really helped. And yeah, we don't, the only one that keeps looking at that is really Ollie Pearce to see if Mo Fowle scored any goals, really. So just keeping him in check is the only one.
Is there anyone behind him, Phil?
He's getting there, yeah. But also, you know, we were saying about the size of your crowds and that, and there must be, and Peter, you know, you can answer this one, that buzz is starting to get a little bit more, and the butterflies and the talk around, obviously, you know, your stadium every time you play, you know, that must be that sort of good feeling, but that buzzing feeling as well.
Yeah, from a fans' point of view, they're absolutely loving it, like I said, the atmosphere. Every game, the atmosphere is fantastic. You know, the boys are singing, getting behind the team, and every team likes a triumph, man. I'm sure you'll agree. And that's what the Worthing fans, you know, try to provide, basically, is being that triumph man. But there is real buzz, obviously, in the group chats. People are trying to work out when we can win the league. I'm saying Haringey at home. but we will see. We will see. But obviously, as Adam said, we take one game at a time, and you know, if it takes us to the last game of the season, it takes us to the last game of the season.
I mean, with the transfer deadline coming up as well, though, Adam, I mean, you know, are you sort of looking for, you know, any sort of like anybody else to come in, or are you happy with what you've got now?
Oh, yeah, really, really happy, obviously, with the squad we've got. We've got Danny Barker that picked up a bit of a hamstring injury at the weekend, so we've got to assess that. David Rodari obviously got recalled from Crawley, and then Dawkin have took him. So Tyrese Matunzi is a young lad. We sent him out to get some minutes at Whitehawk. And he's done really well. We've got Tom Chalet as well, young striker.
You can't call him back for us, could you?
Is that Tom Schley or Ty?
Yeah, from Whitehawk. Yeah, you couldn't just Tyrese. Call him back for us, could you?
Yeah, like, real talented lad. Needs some minutes. So, apparently done very well on the weekend for them. So, yeah, it could be an option. So, it's something we have to look at. And also, you know, our under-18s are currently top of the league as well. And something I firmly believe in is giving our youngsters an opportunity. So, I'm not one to, you know, obviously, Crawley picked up the phone to me. I spoke to Lee Bradley, actually, funny enough, and said that David was available. So it was a bit of a no-brainer having to work with David at Hastings, that he would add something for us for a month. But, you know, I'd like to give our youngsters an opportunity. There's a talented group of players there as well. So if need be, I'd like to give them an opportunity as well.
Do you get down a bit like Keith? I mean, Keith sort of like, he knows probably all the players in his youth setup and stuff by going to different games. I mean, are you in that sort of same vein as Keith, where you go to the under-18s games and other games as well, just to see if there's anybody in there that can maybe come training or could be pushing for a first team place?
Yeah, very like, well, I've been very lucky, really. Unique position for a lot of non-league managers, that I'm actually full-time at the club. So I do all the coaching from under-14s, well, under-7s, right through to the first team. So coach every sort of age at the club. So, yeah, it's nice to see, you know, what lads we got from the 14s, 15s, 16s. We coach them twice a week. And then under-17s to 13s, you know, to see what players there are in the local area and stuff. But yeah, it helps massively. If you are a club that wants to promote from within, to work with them, I coach the under-19s every day, and our under-18s is pretty much made up with those under-19 players now that we have in coaching every day. So yeah, really lucky in that sense, that get to know all the players, and it's brilliant, really rewarding as well to see, you know, lads from, you know, 7 years old or, you know, 13, 14 in our under-14s that come and watch the first team on a Saturday as well. You know, it's nice to see. And they're not just, you know, come in to get coaching, but they're really buying into the whole club as well, which is what we want to do.
And does that make it easier for you to get younger players into Worthing as well? If they know that they see sort of some of the youngsters going into the first team, seeing the first team manager actually sort of like maybe on a weekly basis as well. Do you feel that might, you know, does that make it easier for you guys to sort of, with the other local sort of youth clubs or whatever else around the area, does that make life a little bit easier in actually getting players in as well?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, Ben Pope was 16 when I first played him. So I've always sort of like felt that, you know, if you're good enough, then, you know, you're old enough, age isn't a sort of an issue for you. So something I truly believe in, and giving young players, when if they're ready, an opportunity. And I've done that over recent years, and even this season, a number of our 18s would have, you know, played in our first team. So yeah, I think actually doing it and giving them an opportunity, and knowing that, you know, if you're doing it in training, if you're doing it in games for our youth team, then there is a genuine pathway for you to get selected. Obviously, this season, probably with the expectation and where we've been throughout the year, it's been tough to maybe blood as many youngsters into it. But, you know, still in cup games and that, we've used and utilised some of our youth team players. And yeah, I think it helps massively with recruitment. It's all very well saying that, but you've actually got to show that you do that and believe in it.
Do you think, because we're looking at Whitstable, Adam, that obviously when Worthing went to the 3G and sort of made it more of a community hub, because now you're getting sort of everyone using it for training, you said about the academy. Do you think that's attracted the decent young teams to your club?
Yeah, definitely. I'd say a younger sort of audience come, you know, not so much now when we've got the pitch relayed and that, but after our games, it would be absolutely mobbed with youngsters having a kick about and playing on the pitch. So I think it's helped and really has brought the sort of community together a little bit with younger families coming and stuff like that. And yeah, I think it has helped massively. Being able to offer sessions and stuff like that. I was at Worthing before they had the 3G and it was a struggle to find somewhere to train for the first team, me and Worthing, let alone, you know, have three youth teams, a development centre, all able to train at the ground. And it's been a massive part. And, you know, full credit to George going out spending the money on putting the 3G down. And I think that's what he always envisaged and what he wanted as well. So it must be really rewarding for him to see a good sort of youth setup coming together.
But does the club and do you sort of have a plan A and a plan B for next year? I mean, is that something that you've already sort of got in your mind, right, okay, if we're staying where we are or if we get promoted into the national sort of south? I mean, is there, have you got sort of plans on, you know, already sort of in the back of your mind or on paper or whatever else of what you need or, you know, maybe additional players if it's plan A or what you do if it's plan B? I mean, and again, has the club got that sort of scenario, because you as you said, it's been difficult this year to try and get youngsters into the team, other than, you know, maybe on the cup games and stuff. Is that going to be even, you know, on the second question, is that going to be even harder for you next year if you do go plan A route?
No, yeah, I think I'd be lying to you if I said there wasn't a plan for sort of both scenarios. We've got to start looking at it that way. Because as a club, that's where we want to get to. We want to be a recognised National League club, and we've got to start planning accordingly. Whether it happens this year or not, you know, we want it to happen in the next few years. I've got contract for another 2 years at the club, so definitely in my time in that contract, I want to take the club to the National League, and that's the way we've got to start planning, in my opinion, as if we are already there. And yeah, but at the same time, obviously, budgets, there's going to be a different budget, you know, if we don't go up to, if we do. So yeah, there's all those sort of things sort of happening and talks and meetings going on now and planning already being put in place. And I think we've got to do that. But say we want to get there as soon as possibly can and be ready when we do get there to establish ourselves at that kind of level.
Where can you actually see, you know, the club being able to go? Sort of, you know, is there a peak where you'd say, look, that's maybe as high as division it's going to get to, or do you know, where can you actually see it going?
Like with the fan base and everything that we've got and the size of the town and, you know, it's, I think the first major step is to obviously get into the National League South. And then, you know, I think the plan of the club and the ambition of the club is to, you know, not just stay there and be happy to cement a place. They want to, you know, really start pushing and start being a team that competes at that sort of level. So, yeah, I think that's where obviously the first step is to really focus on the next 10 games and make sure we give ourselves every chance that we can get to become a National League South club. And that's the real short-term sort of goal. But longer term, you know, it really is a sort of, I think the ambition of the players, the manager, the coaching staff and the supporters and the actual board now are all on the same page. And, you know, I wouldn't say that they want, we could be, you know, 10 years time in the championship, but, you know, the size of the town and everything like that, you know, everything's possible, but we won't look that far ahead. It's just real focus on the short-term target of getting into the National South.
We had an open meeting the other week, didn't we, Adam? And one of the people there said that we could actually, they want to compete with Crawley, that we could be as big as Crawley. And that's a good ambition and standard to sort of set where we are at the moment.
I mean, sort of question to both of you, I suppose, from both sides of your sort of view of it. I mean, you know, when you look at that National South and you see the likes of, you know, Dulwich Hamlet, you see the likes of Maidstone, you see the likes of Dorking Wanderers and where they are in that league, does that actually give you sort of hope that you, you know, if you, it was Plan A next year, you go in there, that you won't just be making up the numbers?
Go on, Pete.
Right. obviously, Adam knows, I'm not going to tell him his job. You know, it's going to be about picking the right players for the step up. I think we've probably got a core of that squad who could easily make the step up. But at the end of the day, it's Adam's decision. And I'd like to think we'd be competing. I say, we love the way Adam plays the football down at Woodside Road. And, you know, there's no complaints ever from the terraces about the type of football. It's the way you want to see football played. So I don't see there's any reason why we can't sort of do what Dorking have done over the last few seasons.
No, I went when we got called off for Bishop Stortford, I popped in to watch the Dartford game and see them play Bath, and you know it is obviously a big step up. Some massive clubs in there, and it's going to be a real tough ask, and you know, some real quality players on show just in that game. So yeah, we know that it's going to be a massive ask, a massive step up, and you know, it just be nice to get there first and then have to worry about that. But you know, when we do eventually get there, like I say, over the next few years, we do want to be able to compete, I believe that that's the way the club sort of sees it as well.
Just looking obviously at the league, and you mentioned it a little while ago, Adam, have you been surprised of how strong the league has been, and do you know what, no, can you put your finger on why it has been so strong this year?
I think maybe there isn't. I know everyone seems to think that, you know, with the fan base that we get, that our budget is, you know, blowing everyone out the water. But I'm pretty sure that there's no team this year, really, that, you know, in previous years, there's been teams that have had that extra bit of finance to maybe give them that edge. And I just think this year it's probably been a bit more of a level playing field on that front. Whether teams have sort of been hit hard with COVID and whatnot, and everyone sort of had to be extra cautious with their finances and stuff like that, whether that's had a bit of an impact or not, I don't know. But I think that's a bit to play. But it always has been the last few years that we've been competing, and it's been, you know, a real tough and hard league. And you see, like, changes to management all the time. Pottersbach goes, get Sammy, comes in, and he knows some players, and then all of a sudden they start picking up. And that's what can happen in our league.
Who would you say though in the league so far, you know, this year? I mean, who has been your sort of like biggest challenge? You know, when you've gone up against them, which ones, you know, which were those sort of clubs in there have been the one that either surprised you, or, you know, when you've gone up against them, they've given you a tougher game than you expected, you know, in the league so far?
Yeah, obviously all the obvious ones, Enfields, Lewis's and Chesson, all the teams that are up there, they're the obvious ones. But I think the couple of games that we've had, FA Cup and in the league, when we played away at Crimpton Casuals, been a real tough game. Really sort of struggled to, whether it's the pitch or whatever there, but really struggled to sort of dominate the ball and have lots of the ball and create lots of chances against them. It's been a real tough place and a tough couple of games that we've had against them this year. Cole Shorten away, that was a real tough game. They come and pressed us really hard as well. So Margate as well, we didn't really turn up for that one. The two games down in Kent have been tough. Folkestone, first game of the season, I think it was probably one of our worst performances of the season. And at Margate as well, we struggled to play our way. So it was a real tough test. And so, you know, there's been some real tough games. Like I say, it's not always how we like to play. We like to obviously get the ball down and play football. And, you know, sometimes with the pitches and that, it's a real tough ask. Marston was a real windy, bobbly pitch, and it's a tough place to go. And we had to go and play a bit longer and put a bit more players out that have got a bit more physicality about them to get the win on that day. So, yeah, there's been some tough games throughout the season. So, yeah.
I mean, you're looking for revenge against the old master on the non-league day down at Chessant?
Yeah, I thought we played really well that day, actually. We gifted them a goal and just didn't take our chances on the day, but played some really good stuff at home. But yeah, obviously, we don't want any team to do the double over us this season. It's a bit of a target, bit of a goal, and we've still got a few on that list that we need to do well against to put that right.
Of course, Margate, another one of those clubs as well.
Yep, that's it. We've got Margate, we've got Cole Shorten as well. So still a few there on the list that we need to get through. Yeah, but like I say, it's real tough. Each week you get nervous before every game, and be nervous before tomorrow night's game, going to East Thurrock, and as much as I will on Saturday against Margate, and that's just the way the league is.
Well, I must admit, the game that, you know, at Enfield, I went down to see that game down there, and it probably was probably one of the best games of football I think I've seen all season. It was like two heavyweight boxers, it just throwing haymakers at each other. It was just an incredible game of football. It was really impressive between two really, really good sides on the day.
Yeah, I think both teams are full of good players. You know, they've got a real powerful strike force, and it's proved in the amount of goals that they've scored. And with that, they've got a lot of know-how throughout their side as well. So, yeah, it's real tough game, but I've got to say, I thought our players performed excellently on the day, really did play some good stuff, and exactly how I wanted my team to play, really, and really proud that the players went out and delivered in such a big game.
Hey, yeah, I mean, tell us a little bit about your role at the club. what you do?
Mainly commentating in the fans podcast. I'll get a bit excited on the commentary like I did Saturday. Don't know if you've seen it, but
I mean,
mad.
How did you sort of fall into that? I mean, how did you get sort of the job to start doing all of that sort of side of it for the club?
Well, because we started Rebel Yell as a fan thing, and it started with the fanzine. And then it just sort of developed from there. We said, right, could we actually do a commentary? And then it was like, well, the thing is, you're not going to be behind the fans with the fans anymore on match day. But I got around that Saturday. We've done a test transmission with no listeners, just with a mobile phone. And then we just sort of started it, and it's gone down really well. Just over 2 years now we've been doing it, and like I say, I get regular listeners. Callum Keeley, one of our players, his mom and nan listening from Australia every week. So it's really good for them. And people who are away on holiday, if you know, someone was in Egypt, we had a Gambian listener the other week. I'd encourage every club to start up some sort of commentary service and just keep their fans in touch.
Do you watch it back, Adam? Do you say to him, oh, you're a bit mad there, or you got that right?
No, I know Pete like really does miss being with the fans and singing all the songs and having a few beers and stuff like that. So full credit to him. He does an amazing job. And like I say, my family always listen in if it's a away game. So they'll be listening tomorrow night. So yeah, he does an amazing job. And I know that he does miss being with the hardcore fans behind the goal. So it must be hard for him. So I'm just, grateful like every fan is that he does what he does, really.
Who do you do it with, Pete? Do you do it on your own, or you've got sort of somebody there to bounce off of?
Yes, I get a mix of people, and sometimes I throw it out there. But most of the time, people now, when I ask, at the beginning, they were keen. Because James, a chap called James Easton, usually does it with me. But he's got a job where he flies all over the world, basically. So sometimes he's not there. Sometimes Gary Cohen, who's in, the chairman of Supporters Association, he does it with me. And if they're not available, then I throw it in a fans group, and I've had a few fans who have done it with me over the time. But what they've learnt now is this season, because it's going so well, is they're like, no, no, I've got to stay behind the goal. I've got to stay behind the goal. So yeah, so sometimes I do it on my own. I've done Lewis on my own first half, and then went behind the goal second half. And Gary was there. So, and I just didn't, because my laptop died, very amateur. So I ended up doing it off my phone. So yeah, it was convenient to go behind the goal, and the atmosphere behind that goal at Lewis was fantastic on Saturday.
Yeah, got any favourite ones though that you can tell us about? Any funny instances happened, or any funny ones that you've done that you know, favourite ones that you've done, commentaries wise?
I'm going to mention this chap. He actually passed away today. Number one Worthing fan, chap called Kev Golds. He's been going for absolutely years. But one of my favourite commentaries was with him when he came on as a guest. And we was playing at East Furrock away. And instead of saying F me, because he wasn't allowed to swear on air, he said Furrock me. And that's probably one of the favourite lines I've ever had on the commentary.
I mean, is it something you know that you want, put it this way, would you, is it something you want to carry on doing? As you enjoy it so much, or is it something that you'd rather get somebody else to do that commentary and you can go behind the back of the goal again?
I enjoy doing it, and I'll do it as long as the club I have me. I'll do it my own sort of way. We're not offensive to anybody, I don't think. We're very biased, very, very biased, but I'm not going to apologise for that. I couldn't see me giving it up, to be honest.
So what's your favourite and least favourite ground you go to do it?
King George's Field.
Is your favourite or your least favourite?
Least favourite. And the best one is obviously is Lewis. Love it at Lewis. I love the tripping pan. I've gone wrong there, haven't I? Because I should have said obviously home at Worthing.
Yeah.
Because I've got
Stortford's not bad to go to next week.
Yeah, I've done one from Bishop Stortford before, I think. Yeah, they've got a nice high stand. I do like the high stand because you get a better overview of what's going on. And I think that's why Adam watches the first half in the stand at Woodside, because he can get an overview of what's going on. I'm sure you agree with that.
Well, I mean, you won't be getting a high stand when you go to Chesson.
No.
You stand right away from the pitch.
Yeah. Hornchurch was difficult as well. And so was Enfield. That was quite... And the sound system at Enfield is so loud. In the stand opposite the main stand, I was in there, and the speaker is right in front of us, and it is so, so loud.
They do have a lot of old supporters at their game, so crank it up a little bit, yeah.
and the fact that the actual sort of like dugouts where the changing rooms are, and there's some stands up the top of there, is about a coach ride from the pitch, isn't it?
Mm.
So they've got to shout a bit louder to actually get so people can hear them. But I think one of my favourite grounds that I've been to, he's got to be the one that they come into you at the end. But again, he's Brightlin Sea.
Really?
Yeah.
Dave. He is.
I don't sound silly, but it's just one of those grounds when you go in, and especially for, you know, I feel that way. I go into that ground when we go up there or whatever else, and it just feels like a really sort of like homely ground to go into. I don't know if that's because they're so, you know, the people in there are, you know, really lovely and all the rest of it, but I've always enjoyed going there and going to that ground.
Listen, Dave, they're lovely people at Brighton. You see, I say that, but you need to get out more.
Yeah,
it's a little bit like shopping in your local corner shop than going to Blue Water or Furrock. No disrespect, like I said, Brighton. You see, they are lovely people. I ain't going on that, but good, you having a laugh.
You don't want to go to Brighton. You don't want to go to Thurrock anyway, because if you go to Thurrock, it's grass is up over your knees, isn't it?
Oh, I haven't been to Thurrock for about a year or so, but yeah, that's. I think it's improved a bit.
But I mean, with that as well, of course, is you know moving up as well. I suppose the further you move up, I suppose the more concerns you've got around your pitch as well. I mean, you know, I know it's another couple of promotions, but you know, if you're getting to that sort of success, you know, there's that opportunity then as well, where you know you might have to turn it back to grass again.
Oh yeah, obviously that's a bit time away yet. So
you could have been worried about that this year if it weren't for COVID.
it's in the pipeline, but I think the club as a whole, like, we might be sort of getting to a stage where we're sort of outgrowing where we are. You know, already when we get over 2,000 people there for certain games of the season, it's felt very sort of, you know, full up. You're not getting many more in. And also, you know, health and safety and everything like that comes into question, you know, with everyone sort of round on the sort of terraces. Have we got enough facilities and that to cater for everybody? So, but yeah, again, sort of in the pipeline, possibly for years to come.
But you've got some, I'm just looking at your fixtures, and you've got some nasty travels, haven't you, in the next three games? You know, you're coming all the way coming down to here, aren't you? Bishop Stalford, then Potter's Bar, and then Chester.
I don't think
Thurrock's
too bad for you, Adam, is it?
I don't know. Getting over Dartford at that sort of time's not brilliant, is it? But yeah, we've loved a few London trips this year, to be fair. I think the league have looked after us there. So we went to Wingate on a Tuesday night as well. So we've had a few trips into London on Tuesdays. So yeah, we look forward to them in the next couple of weeks.
One of those things, aren't it, where you've literally got them all, you know, you've got them all back to back, bang, 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 sort of three of them, sort of all in the same sort of roughly within probably, I don't know, 2 mile circumference of each other, I would have thought.
Yeah, we've got 19s as well play Wednesday. We've got Maidstone away as well. So we've got a nice journey, skip back late Tuesday and then back on the minibus to go to Maidstone on the Wednesday. So it's all good. Wouldn't have it any other way. We're not going to complain, and we'll just get on with it.
I mean, with players wise, though, I mean, injuries wise, I mean, going in, I mean, how big is your squad? And I mean, have you got any issues with injuries going into the running?
We've got a couple out at the moment. Danny Barker done his hamstring in the game. Don't know what he's doing. He was travelling with the ball for about 20, 30 yards, which, you know, he's the water carrier. He shouldn't be doing stuff like that. So it's his own fault there, probably. But, yeah, he's going to be out for about 6 weeks, potentially. We're waiting for a scan and see the severity of his hamstring, but it definitely felt a pop, so it's not too good for us. But, yeah, got Coxey out as well with his calf, but he shouldn't be too long. So Pat Webber's defender should be back as well. So, yeah, happy with the squad we got. And like I say, within that, we've got some really exciting young players as well and young prospects that, you know, if need be, are there to be called upon as well.
So what's it like having someone like Dean Cox around, you know, around the place as well? Does that help out with the youngsters as well, where he's been there playing at Orient, et cetera, and other places? And, you know, does that help out with the youngsters as well, having that somebody there with that experience?
Yeah, I've got to say, you know, Darren Bardon and Alex Parsons as well. Them two are just phenomenal sort of role models for the younger players, and any player that sort of comes into the group, you know, they pretty much run the dressing room for me, and they set the standards of how I want everything to be. And yeah, to have that, and obviously Coxey added this year, and Aaron Rasheen as well. It does really help, you know, like I say, setting the standards of the group and the younger players. They know the standards in training, and if they're not up to it, then, you know, one of them guys will let them know in no short time, very quickly, of what the standard is for the club.
We were talking about COVID earlier on as well. I mean, how badly did that affect the club? And, you know, as the club, you know, I suppose the club's back to being 100% now, but I mean, it's, how did it affect the sort of day-to-day running of the club and with yourself, if you're saying you're working full-time there for the club? How did it sort of affect yourself and everything at the club over the last couple of years?
It affected my knees in a bad way. I'd done the run for the club. There was a few of us that got together, and I think done 43K, so like a marathon, equivalent of a marathon, to raise money for the club. And, you know, that I think that sort of galvanised the town and the community as well. Everyone got together, raised £43,000 to put towards the facilities at the ground. And, you know, I think from then, everyone sort of come together and bought in maybe to the club a bit more because about the money that was raised. So, yeah, the generosity and the fan base at the club helped massively with that. And I think, you know, COVID had a big impact on a lot of clubs in a big way. But, yeah, we seemed to come through it relatively well. And like I say, the lads were very keen as soon as we could and as soon as it was safe to get back to training and get together. And I think that's helped us.
I mean, does everybody feel that COVID on a plus point as maybe some clubs have come out of it now a lot better than what they were when they went into it, i.e. financially, shall we say?
I think so it's made maybe clubs sort of address the situation they are in. Maybe you know, sometimes when you go from season to season, you don't have that opportunity to actually have a look at your finances and your bank balance and see where you can improve and what needs to be done. And I think maybe that has helped clubs do that, maybe.
Peter, do you think the same?
Yeah, absolutely. Because there was a lot of furlough and stuff like that, I think it helped the clubs in a way that, you know, players... And some of the staff in the club were still getting their wages, etc. So that probably took a lot of pressure off the clubs, especially when they've got no income coming in. So they've been able to keep people. And it's very important to a club to be able to keep people.
Keith, yeah, I mean, I know you wasn't at your club, you know, over that sort of period. But I mean, do you feel it's actually sort of helped clubs?
It's helped a lot of clubs financially, Dave, that have took the grants out, etc., and not had to play players. Also, I think it's mostly helped to, it's made a lot of clubs look at a little bit like Adam said, but a little bit more out of the box of not just football as well, you know, academies, etc., but also things about, you know, their facilities. I think COVID's made people think, oh, do I need to do that to, you know, now and make things a little bit better and a little bit cleaner and a little bit bigger. So it's, I think it's actually made them step outside the box of not just looking at you know, what happens just on the pitch. So I think that's improved a lot as well. I think if you go around a lot of grounds now, certain some sort of procedures are still in place because it's made it maybe a little bit safer and a little bit easier for them as well. So, yeah, no, obviously, you know, as difficult as it was for everyone to have that time missed, and I still say that everyone will still go back and take that time back because it was hell for everyone. You know, it mostly has helped a little bit financially wise for the clubs, but it just, I keep going, Dave, it makes me sick that you know, the clubs should be getting extra finances anyway, and they shouldn't have to wait for a pandemic to get them. There's plenty of money around, and if them clubs can get it, you know, Adam's saying they're going for a walk for £43,000, the FA should be walking down and giving it to them. So, you know, I keep saying that, and I've had a big issue, and I'm quite passionate about it, but... you know, I think that things like that is just, I think it also might have opened some clubs' eyes to see what grants are around because they have applied for them and now they're like, oh, wonder what else is about. So I think it might have helped in that way too.
Hmm. That's where we don't mention women's football because we could still be here tomorrow. Well, in all fairness, though, I mean, you know, the running that's going to be going in, I mean, not... So, for yourselves and of course for those sort of clubs. I mean, how many clubs do you feel are still in the mix for either automatic or for playoffs? You know, in your opinion, you know, I asked Andy that question yesterday in the interview I did with him. But I mean, how many do you feel that there is still in the Premier League there that will still be, you feel still will move that sort of chance of getting in either into the playoffs or maybe pipping you for the title?
It's probably the stage now where you want your listeners all going to switch off, but very boring answer. And I'm just going to focus on us. I'm not going to get, I don't really look at it. I don't look at who we need to worry about, who else is in the running and stuff like that. I just, you know, solely very boringly focused on Worthing, have been all season and will be. So, yeah, just I'm sure there's a number of teams that, like I say, will still fancy their chances. And, you know, we're definitely one of them. Sorry, very boring.
Right, Keith, what do you reckon? How many do you think?
Yeah. Adam needs to shut his ears. There's only one that's going to win it. And I think that there's most probably 8-9 that can get in the playoffs.
That many?
Yeah, I think so. Dave, we've seen this before. And, you know, I've seen teams at this time of the year think they're safe and lost every game and got relegated in the Istanbul Prem side. And I've seen it go the other way, where a team's put, you know, 8 or 9 games on the spin and they're 24, 27 points added to their total and they're in the playoffs. And it is that league, and I have seen it done quite regularly. I've always say to you, there's always a team that do fall off the rails and end up slipping in the bottom few, and there's always one team that just comes really strong. So if it happens, then yeah, I do believe that. Yeah,
and I'd say between 2nd and 7th for the playoffs, and obviously we stay where we are.
Who do you think that, I mean, playoffs-wise, though, out of those teams that are in that sort of area, though, I mean, who would you say would be your favourites if they get in there and actually to do it? Would you say Lewis would be the team that, you know, you'd want either not to make it in there if he was other teams, or if they did make it in there, they would possibly be the team that you wouldn't want to be facing?
Yeah, I think Lewis, Enfield, Chesson have all got a lot of firepower, some real good strikers, Bishop Stortford as well. So, yeah. And like Keith just mentioned there, like all of these teams will be feeling they can win the last 10 games and still win the league. There's no question about that. And I think that's what makes the league so good and why it does keep everyone on their toes. And you can't predict it. You know, I think guaranteed in the Premier League at the moment that's going to be a title race between two clubs, but it's definitely not going to be the same in our level in our league. So yeah, there's lots of good sides out there. I thought Lewis were good. It was a real good competitive game on the day. Yeah, it's just keeping that consistency. Who can keep that consistency and who can keep the momentum in the next few games is going to be key.
Well, listen, guys, I really appreciate you coming on tonight. I really do. As the dog's dying over in the corner, but in a funny movie. But in all fairness, we wish you do, me and Keith, wish you all the very best in your quest to get promoted. And we think that you're going to do it. So, we'll wait and see how far it is. I mean, Peter reckons it's going to be crimping casuals when you get promoted. We'll see how far it takes you before you get up there. But a massive thank you for coming on tonight. We wish everybody at Worthing all the very, very best, as we said, for the rest of the season. Massive thank you for Keith as well for joining us again tonight. And we'll be back next week. But until then, good night.